Tickets, please have your tickets ready.
Children under five must wear safety.
And the children first.
Seasickness makes me so nauseous.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Dreamboat Podcast, your dream analysis podcast with your captains, Connor.
And Scott.
And we're here today to once again talk about some dreams.
That's right. We are going to take those mishmash of experiences, thoughts, memories that your brain replays at you, and we're going to try and make sense of them.
We're going to mold that subconscious clay into... Well, I guess your brain kind of does that itself. I guess that's kind of what dreams are. You have all this subconscious goo and clay, and your brain kind of molds it into a thing. But
yeah, I think it's also what you ate. You know, we talked about the apple juice and the cheese, so it's also that fried zucchini you had a little bit playing in that mix.
But if you will, it takes all of these materials and it molds them kind of into this postmodern sculpture you might see at that schmancy museum that takes you a little while to kind of figure out, like, what the hell does that mean?
Oh, the George Schmancy Museum. He was a great
George Schmancy is one of my favorite contemporary
curatorial people. Yes,
mixed media sculptors.
So I had a dream about George Schmancy.
Here's your one chance, Schmancy. Don't let me down. See, I didn't sing it that time. A lot of singing.
No,
a lot of singing
didn't.
Last episode.
You're not wearing your Schmancy pants.
Nope, just shorts. Okay. A few things here. We at the Dreamboat Cast have found out we've been discovered on Reddit. So people are finding about our cast. I want to thank
everybody. Yeah, we've got some Reddit listeners.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody out there sharing our podcast. It's super cool and happy to grow our community here on the Dreamboat. Plenty of bunks available. The balcony rooms are going fast.
Yeah, just swab the poop deck and you can stay aboard.
You don't have to touch the poop deck.
You don't touch the
poop deck. Don't say poop deck.
So we've got sort of this brand new opportunity then to fetch some new dream submissions through the Reddit. And the Dreams Reddit is interesting. It's anyone who has sort of a thoughtful or a thought-provoking dream will post it on there. And they get the whole community to react. So we're going to try and give our two cents.
And then also I want to give a shout out to the moderator of the Dreams subreddit, JM DeBoard. He's also known as the Rad Owl. And we're actually going to use one of his dream books. He's an author. You can check him out and find his stuff, one of his dream dictionaries today while we're doing our thing. So shout out to JM. Thanks a lot, my man.
Thank you, Rad Owl. Hey, Connor.
Yes, Scott.
Do we have any normal old school vanilla submissions, you know, our regular bread and butter?
You know, I like bread and butter. I know that you like toast and jam. But we do have people sending in their good old-fashioned dreams to our good old-fashioned Gmail account, dreamboatpodcast@gmail.com, which is a good old-fashioned way to get a hold of us. So if you have a dream,
it's pretty good.
You want to send it in, there's no character limit. It goes straight into our beautiful mailbox. And I just hooked it up to my phone, so now I'm getting it on my phone. I don't know how long that'll last, because I get like three different emails I'm juggling. So we do have one here from one... Hannah. So we'll go ahead and read off this one. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Hannah.
And it goes a little something like this. I have no strength and no voice. I can't lift my arms or legs or roll over or speak or yell. I'm just stuck, fighting this weight and weakness with all that I have, and it does nothing. I was so angry, I was just growling at whatever it was. Einstein jumped up on the bed and lay next to me, and I was petting him. And then another cat jumped on the bed, too. So it was a little kind of really weird. I was just really angry and felt like someone was trying to intimidate me, and I woke up growling at whatever I thought it was. It's hard to tell if it was a dream or if it was real when I woke up, but then I realized that it was a dream because it was dark when I was in it, and I had my salt lamp on.
Weird. Okay. First thought. When Einstein jumped up on the bed and I started petting him, my mind immediately saw the German theoretical physicist like leap up onto her bed with her, and I was like, yep, this is a normal dream now, but that was coming out of the dream, I think, at that point.
Yeah, it's I wanted to make some kind of joke with Schrodinger's cat in there, but it's just not quite coming out.
Oh, it's there. Don't force that joke out though. That'll
it's either there or it's not.
Wow, so this sounds a lot to me like sleep paralysis, or how I've had sleep paralysis described to me.
Now, I think that we should explain two things, because to me, sleep paralysis is something different.
Okay.
This seems like a dream where you have no strength, where sleep paralysis is something that you experience in a conscious state. But so I think we should touch on this conscious state of sleep paralysis, maybe way after we jump into this bad boy here.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So the first thing that happens is a sort of weakness, overall weakness, right? Like a sapped strength kind of situation going on, and like the just perceiving some sort of evil presence around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to think of terms that I can look up in the old Ibn Sirin here.
Now, I'm over here in this J.M. DeBoer joint, and the title of this book is The Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings. And under paralysis here, it says a physical representation of a situation where you cannot act or make a move, paralyzed by doubt or fear, for example. Now, it could be a symbol of a lack of power or control, some sort of paralyzing fear or doubt in your life.
Hmm. Okay. So there's some sort of doubt that's constricting you in this dream.
Interesting here that we mentioned sleep paralysis, because here in this DeBoer joint, it says that a paralysis in a dream can represent the physical condition of sleep paralysis. So if someone who suffers from sleep paralysis probably gets so stressed out by sleep paralysis that you dream of having sleep paralysis.
Wow.
It sounds pretty terrifying. Right, yeah, and we'll get into it.
Interesting to me though, if that is sort of contradictory a little bit here, because it's like being intimidated and weakened and battered down, but here the submitter Hannah talks about growling the whole time. It's like a come at me, dude,
at the beginning there is no voice and she can't speak or yell, so in the beginning there can't do anything.
Well, it says at the beginning it does nothing. I was so angry and I was growling at whatever it was. I like that, just like
just like so frustrated on the inside.
Come on, do it.
Sick of fret. Insert Hanna-Barbera sound effects in there.
So that is interesting. What about the part where it's dark in the dream, but when she wakes up, there's a salt?
So this to me is her realizing that what she wasn't sure that it was a dream, but she put it together that in her dream it was dark, but when she woke up, she had her lamp on.
I see. Okay. Wow.
Which is probably one of those cool. I thought about getting a salt lamp, but then I was like, I'm just going to have a burning desire to lick my lamp. And
what is a salt lamp?
So it's like a big geode of salt, or a big cube of salt, or they're in cool shapes. You ever heard of Google?
What is this Google?
Google. Like Himalayan sea salt lamp. You'll find it. You basically stick a bowl.
Oh, yeah. There. I would totally lick that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that's why.
It's salt.
I'm trying to keep my blood pressure down. Now, back to this DeBoer joint cats here. Usually associated with femininity.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see that. Also lay it on me.
Well, I was going to say, we've looked up cats before, and I believe one of the questions was whether the cat looks healthy in your dream. Do you remember what dream it was that we analyzed earlier on where we began to look at cats, and there's a lot
that was of that was my associated. Dream with the when I had the cat in the bag, and then the cat turned into the loaf of bread or the head of lettuce and then grew really big.
That's right.
Yeah,
and then I had one where I went to a cat summer camp where everyone had cats as well.
You're right.
So we've done cats.
There's a lot in here about cats, and I'd be interested also to hear what Ibn Sirin has to say. But
he's got a lot to say.
Also, Another point in here that I think is well, spoken is that it depends on what your associations with cats are. Now, saying that she is a cat owner and Einstein's a cat, so she has another cat, she probably is pretty cool with cats. So, but seeing it like as this kind of stranger cat coming in is kind of interesting.
It just seemed like it was a second cat. Like, it didn't seem to me like a bad omen or anything. It just looked like she seemed a little perplexed, but it's hard to infer that just from the email. Mm-hmm. So the presence of cats, according to Ibn Sirin, in a dream, represents a whole bunch of contradictory things.
Oh, boy.
Just a whole list of things that completely contradict each other. So a cat in a dream could mean shunning off your husband, wife, or children. Or it could mean a fight, or theft, or adultery, or disloyalty, eavesdropping, backbiting, bearing a child from adultery, a bastard child. It's all just some real bummers.
It's interesting that some of those things you bring up, because also here in this Debord joint, it talks about possibly being flirtation or worried that your partner is getting, schmoozed on by someone's catting around, if you will.
Well, that was all the negative stuff. That was like, okay, that's weird. But the good ones is that a cat in a dream could represent a gentle speaking person or someone who just desires to be accepted by others.
Mm.
So it's all this
approval. Approval.
Approval, societal norms. Like, there's a lot of that going on.
Interesting. It does say cat owners are likely to dream about their cats. I think so. Just like I'm likely to dream about where I work and my friends and stuff.
Right. They're probably main characters in the sitcom of their lives. They're probably coming back next season,
I was watching a new episode in the sitcom of my mind.
What do you think, Connor? Is this a dream that's just trying to tell her something, or is this one of those dreams that's
I think it's time that we connect some dots here, right? So it's taking place in her bedroom, which is kind of just like a common place, but can also be. I don't think we need to. We could either read into this, and it's like your bedroom is your sanctuary, it's your private space, all of that. Or we could not read into that. But I think it's time that we start connecting these puzzle pieces here.
I want to make a synthesis of this.
There is her cat, Einstein, is jumping up on the bed. So it starts with this paralysis, right? Can't move, can't speak, fighting, growling at just what is making me do this. The cat jumps on the bed. She can pet the cat. So to me, that's almost like the cat comes and provides comfort. There's comfort in the familiar. Not saying that your cat is your familiar, but that's also kind of super cool. So let's go with that. And then there's this stranger cat coming up on the bed and wondering like who brought this other cat here? Someone trying to intimidate me? Someone kind of like how someone throws a brick through a window. There's someone just like throws a cat in there. There's this other cat. And then she woke up. So that's interesting. So she was going through the struggle, mm-hmm. and then the cat brings her back around.
But then there's two cats.
And there's two cats, and it's like, why are there two cats? Why are there two cats?
There mustn't be two cats.
Wakes up with a start, growls at whatever it is, not sure if it's a dream or not, sees the salt lamp, doesn't lick the salt lamp. That last part was me.
All right. I have a different theory, actually. If you wouldn't mind. I mean, not to contradict you.
Let us parlay.
Well, the reason I think of it is that I found out probably within the last year here that I actually is like weird and creepy, but I sleep a lot with my eyes kind of halfway open, apparently.
Ooh.
Which is a little bizarre. I'm told that it looks really cool and good. But I was thinking when I was told that, it's like weird. I wonder if that, transposes any of my eyes are seeing into my dreams ever, or you know what I mean, like am I more tuned into the room I'm in for the dream? And this sounded a lot like that sort of period in between falling asleep and dreaming.
Mm.
Because it's in the same setting, It didn't sound like you were in a bizarro dream room. You know, you didn't have your foyer attached and your underground, you know, minecart chamber on the side of your room. Like, it was your real room. It sounded
there was no bat cave.
So there's, right. And then there's the cat, and you did have a cat. I think what this may have been was trying to fall into the dream and maybe realizing it before the dream could put all the extras together. And so, like, you know, your cat probably jumped up on your bed in real, and you probably couldn't move because your body was like, nope, we're sleeping now. But the cat probably jumped up, and then the dream director in your head went, we need more cats, and just slopped another one on there.
Kind of like how we talked about how REMs, when you're in REM sleep, it's the closest stage to being conscious, where you like hit REM, exactly. You fall into like deep 2, deep 3, deep 4, and then you come back up that ladder back to REM, closest to
consciousness. About that. We had a guest doctor come and elucidate that to us, but you are right.
I was using the royal we.
Okay.
But I would like to boil this down one notch further, and I would say that this dream is about not being in control of a situation or not knowing how to move forward with something, whether something is keeping you from it or whether it's yourself keeping you from doing something with doubt or not being confident in what step to take. And then I think additionally on top of that, there is something, whether it's kind of like an ironic situation or whether it's a person who's kind of flaunting success in your face or kind of like rubbing it in. And that's that mystery cat.
I like that. That's a good one. Dang, mystery cats stealing our jobs.
Trick or jerbs. Now, I think we should talk about sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Because different from just experiencing paralysis in a dream, sleep paralysis is like a diagnosable thing.
Did you know between 8% and 50% of people experience sleep paralysis at some point in time?
That's pretty intense.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen to me, unless when it does, it's really awesome. Like, I don't know. I'm riding a roller coaster while it happens or something.
From anybody that has ever, like, explained it to me, it's just like being locked in the prison of your body and you can't move and you can't say anything and you can't scream. Like, you can see, but you can't move. Like, you can't even move your eyes. That's how it's been explained to me by people.
This is interesting, but I'm just sort of cruising the Wikipedia here. It says that it's believed to be, and again, anything with dreams is kind of hearsay. There's no, as far as I know, no concrete evidence for any of this, but it says that the underlying mechanism is believed to result from disrupted REM sleep.
Now, that would, like, that would make sense that, again, with, like we just said, REM sleep is the closest to consciousness in our waking life. And so something, the wires have gotten crossed between where your body shuts down and your mind is still awake, to the point where it's kind of like a little halvesies-halvesies situation there.
It's like, you know, on the original Nintendo Entertainment System, if you just lightly press the reset button and it just garbles the game, so you can still play, but it's all screwed up. Man. Yeah, it's like one of those.
This is interesting. Back in this, again, I'm using this DeBoard joint here. Thank you, DeBoard. The experience of waking up paralyzed can also have imagery overlaying on top of what your open eyes are seeing. So imagine not only are you unable to move, unable to speak, you're seeing the room, but you're also having dream stimuli green screened on top of that. So is essentially what is described here as a recipe for what's called a waking nightmare. Because you're awake, you can't move, you're seeing your room where you probably feel pretty vulnerable, literally can't move. And there's also some, like, cuckoo shit going on because you're in Dreamtown. You took the wrong turn in Dreamtown.
Took the back road. So wait, hold on. Run that by me one more time like I'm 5 years old. So the outside stimuli can cross over into the dream if you get disrupted at some point?
So when you have sleep paralysis, imagine you're laying in bed and You're just laying in bed looking at the ceiling. Maybe you're a side sleeper. We should talk about maybe different sleep positions sometime. Huh. Anyway, so imagine I'm a side sleeper. So you're laying in bed and you have your eyes open, like you're trying to fall asleep. But you can't move your eyes, you can't move your body, but you can see your room in front of you. Not only can you see your room in front of you, but you're also at the same time experiencing what I guess I can use here, the words auditory or visual, though imagined, like hallucinations, on top of what you're seeing. So you may be laying there in bed, not being able to move, but you can also see that in the window, the friggin' boogeyman, you know, just his claw hand silhouetted against the moonlight is like unlatching your window and opening it up.
Okay, I think you're being a little half-glass boogeyman right now, because I'm thinking you can incept whatever you want into your dreams. Like, I could have a big Wolverine poster and then finally have a Wolverine dream if I play my cards right.
But You know what I mean? Okay, if you have a lucid sleep paralysis dream, I don't think that that's...
Maybe you don't want Wolverine there helping you out?
Didn't say that, but I don't think... I think from all accounts of this sleep paralysis, the most horrifying part of it is not only the lack of being able to control what's going on, but the lack of being able to move your body, and it being that crossover of reality to where you are literally seeing half reality and half dream. Possibly, or just seeing reality and not being able to move to where your eyes are seeing, but the part of your body that controls your muscles is completely shut down.
I mean, it says right here that a lot of people report having difficulty breathing, which is horrifying. Oh, wow. And it says that this is where the legend of the succubus or incubus comes from. So like in medieval times, people were being afflicted with sleep paralysis and couldn't breathe and felt pressure and thought that they were being, zonked on by a demon, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like to be zonked on by a demon.
Don't want that. This is really interesting, though, reading this, because this reminds me of a dream that I recounted recently about when I was sick, when I had like a fever dream.
Right, and
I
couldn't move out of my bed. And tilt-a-whirl bed?
Yeah, I was tipping it back and forth and stuff. It says here that there's a lot of body image distortion, and I had a little bit of that, too, like stretchy legs going out to the horizon.
Some foreign lady hands?
No foreign lady hands. No zonking occurred that I'm aware of.
I was talking about your legs stretching out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The stretchy. No, but that is really interesting.
I know that there's a technique for lucid dreaming, and I was kind of into this in college a little more, where you try to just stay as still as possible. And literally, like, not move any part of your body and just try to stay conscious as long as you can. So as soon as you tip over into, like, REM sleep, you're still semi-conscious, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to do that. And
did it work?
I was doing this for a long time, and then all of a sudden... I was super still, and then I blinked my eyes, which was weird because I thought my eyes were closed the whole time. I may or may not have told this story before. And then it turns out I was just like staring into the blackness. And then I blinked, and it's like my eyes just totally teared up because they were just dry as the Sahara. So that definitely wasn't sleep paralysis, but I have a little anecdote just for freezies.
I just imagine your ceiling fan just like blasting your eyes dry. All right, cool. I think we tackled that one pretty good.
I think so.
Would you like to, I don't know, try a Reddit submission perhaps?
Sure. Yeah, I think we could do a submission from the
Dreams
Reddit. Lay it on me.
I think I sent it to you here. Do you want to be the reader?
I think you should read this one. I just read Hannah's.
Okay. So this is by Patron of the Inhuman on the Reddit Dreams subreddit. I was looking out of a sliding glass panel door early in the morning, and a white owl, bigger than any regular owl, flew up to me and stared at me through the door. And I told him, "Be careful, there are people going around that might want to hurt you." The owl seemed to acknowledge this and flew off, and I left the door to do some chores. I came back a couple hours later during the afternoon, and there's a mother cat with 10 kittens, and the owl comes back, this time with a smaller brown owl, and they both attack the kittens, and they're eating them, and the mom cat doesn't attack them or anything or try to scare them. She just panics and tries to move the kittens away from the owl. And as I'm watching this, I feel no sympathy or remorse. I just think it's gross. Then I wake up. Ooh.
Interesting.
Ooh. All right, this is a little darker, but there seems to be some symbols in here that I am really curious about.
Yes.
I've never done owls, and I've always wanted to know if they are associated with wisdom.
Now, this first owl is a white owl. Is that correct?
Right, and then there was a smaller brown owl.
So in consulting the rad owl, if I will, in this DeBoer joint, talks specifically about white owls being good omens, that it can mean the right time to move ahead with something you've been planning or thinking about.
But it just does something horrific to these little cats.
Maybe you've been meaning to do something that's really hard to do.
Dude, and it's crazy because the owl says, be careful, there's people that want to hurt you.
But the owl, does the owl says that or the person,
the
dreamer says that?
The white owl, the big white owl that is bigger than any regular owl, this like, you know, super spirit owl, tells him to be careful and then murders some kittens.
Are you sure? I don't think that's what you said.
Let me read it again. I was looking out of a sliding glass panel door in the morning. A white owl, bigger than any other owl, flies up to me and stares at me through the door. Oh, I tell him.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay, damn, I wanted to talk an owl. Be careful, there's people going around that might want to hurt you. And the owl acknowledges this. Okay, fair enough. Let me just look up owls really quick in Ibn Sirin, but I'm starting to maybe what you were saying before.
Which is interesting, because owls generally represent, like, wisdom and stuff. We think of the educated, scholarly owl.
Right, and you said it's a good omen.
The white owl, specifically. But in thinking, you are imparting wisdom upon the wise. You're saying, be careful around these parts. They could be not so good for you white owls. Great snowy owls.
Great white owls. Okay. In a dream, an owl represents a tyrant ruler or a haughty and dangerous thief who works alone without helpers.
Ooh.
An owl in a dream might also mean being unemployed or fear and bewilderment. It represents a traitor. If one sees himself fighting with an owl, nope, that wasn't it. Weird. So this is looking bad in my Ibn Sirin book. It looks like owls are kind of this deceitful, bad influence, thieving kind of symbol.
And back on this DeBoer joint, it says that they could connect with the parts of yourself that are in the dark unconscious mind, which is the id, if I'm using that Freud correctly. And this is interesting. They act as intermediaries to help you tap into your instinctive wisdom, especially in regard to protecting and rearing children and trusting your intuition.
Whoa.
Which is interesting when you talk about...
Because there's a baby owl and there's baby kittens.
Not only the babies there, but also instinctive wisdom. Instinctive wisdom is in, this ain't such a good part of town for you, partner. Mr. White Owl partner. And now I'm just imagining an owl in a cowboy hat, which I'm loving.
Yes, please.
I think you talked last week about wanting to have a dream about an owl in a car.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I did.
That's neither here nor there.
Oh, man. Okay, so I'm starting to realize there's a lot more symbols here representing family or offspring. So the it's not said explicitly, but the big white owl shows up with a baby brown owl.
Right.
Right. So it's like family versus family. And he tells the white one, he's like, you know, there's people here that might want to hurt you. And cats eat birds.
Yeah, but owls,
but I don't think they eat giant owls.
Also
yeah, no.
Eat small pets. Like, that's
this
a thing.
True. Very weird, man. I'm interpreting this dream as like a conflict of personality here. Like, he's got two things that he thinks are important, and then in his dream kind of goes, it looks like it's going for the owl.
Well, but again, we don't know what the dreamer's association with cats are. And although again, they said it was just kind of gross. Like, yeah, you're just going to do that right here. He's gonna. Okay,
by my sliding glass door.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's his jugular. That's his little kitty paw.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, again, I think it's interesting that this idea of doing something you need to, or you think you need to do, but is like really hard, to bring yourself to do something specific. It's like, oh God, like you know what I really need to do is I really need to kill those kittens. I really don't want to do it. Or you have the desire to do something that you may not agree with, which is that the dark owl, Black Lodge part of yourself.
I feel like if your dreams were like your guidance counselor, they would just be giving you the most whack-ass guidance always. And there would be like a way where they're always right, where it's always good advice, but there would be a million ways to interpret it really stupid. And like,
you're taking,
so I should work at Dave and Buster's forever, is what you're saying.
You're getting A's in chemistry, so let's go ahead and just drop out of that class. And let's put you in show choir. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. How many bandanas do you own? You should wear them all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 13 bandanas.
13 bandanas would be good. This one's kind of a weird one. I am surprised at... I mean, every time we look up an animal, I'm surprised at the outcome. Crocodile's a perfect example of that, where mm-hmm. it represented something not that bad. And I think it was just the unknown, wasn't it? It was just something new.
Yeah, and I think we talked
now
about
we got owls.
Like stepping stones on the top of the crocodile's head. So that was a cool one.
Right, that was Scott Hartman's dream. That was a good one. So, I don't know, reading this one, I guess I'm a little confused. I can't really tie it up in a nice bow or anything. But if I had to, I would probably say that this dream is telling you something. It's just using symbolism, it's trying to tell you that there's probably two moralities that you're thinking of or that you're looking at, and it looks like the one that won out is not the one that you thought would, right? So mm-hmm. you're picking owls over cats subconsciously here, and you're looking out for the owls more than you're looking out for the cats, whatever that means. And if we were to look at this cat symbol here, right, what is this? Well, there's too many though, and then I need more context. But
I think it depends more about what cats mean to this person. Mm-hmm. But I think the fact that they aren't particularly remorseful or horrified just kind of grossed out. Like, you know.
Oh, wow. I'm reading the comments here, and someone says that this be careful warning seems to be a message from you to yourself.
I would say that's pretty fair. Yeah. If the owl is representing wisdom and intuition, that you're kind of, you know, that's your heart telling you to be careful.
Okay, I just realized there's a secret message in here somewhere. What is a window?
Oh,
mean?
Did you just read it backwards?
Through a window. He's looking. Trossy Rev. Not
dead, myth. Man.
Rev is backwards. Is very backwards. I'm gonna look up window really quick because I wonder if there's any significance to looking at the owl through a window. If that would change.
Yeah,
me.
Accidentally mm-hmm. just pulled up window. This is interesting. In this DeBoard book, window, see mm-hmm. eyes. Let's see eyes.
What? Let's see eyes.
Let's see
because the eyes are the window to the soul.
Seeing can mean to see the answer. So perhaps something that comes through the window could be the answer. Windows of a home can symbolize eyes. When the home represents the body and mind.
Mm.
Windows are used to see through, and so are eyes. A window can symbolize perspective or point of view. So here, your intuition is coming to visit you. And in your intuition, you give yourself a warning.
There we go.
So you, from a different perspective, as you see things from a different perspective, or are being intuitive in some different way, or maybe changing your perspective about things, you give yourself a warning. Be careful about this whole thing here. It could be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. You watch out. Don't go dreaming about murdering kittens now.
And then hang with me here. Then your intuition comes back and quite literally feasts
on the innocent.
I mean,
debatable anyways.
Debatable, but yeah, then feasts This is interesting. I guess it all depends on what you feel cats mean.
It's always going to go back to how you feel about cats and anything in life.
Pretty much, yeah.
So Ibn Sirian's not much use for this one. He says, in a dream, a large window represents a woman of good character. So there's that. Definitely looking at that woman of good character and then telling it to watch out because people hurt her.
This owl flew right through this woman of good character. Woman
of excellent character.
I think this is just a dream about you needing to be careful about either some new choice or some new direction or some new idea you have about doing a thing. Right, and knowing that there could be some sacrifice in that. I think that's perhaps what these kittens mean. And there's some sort of sacrifice that's going to be made, or perhaps just a consequence. So you're going to have to eat the consequence. Probably
that's
not
a solid.
Don't eat the kittens, just the consequence. I'm being metaphorical here.
It's a solid look. I agree with that. I think you already know. It's you talking to yourself in this dream. Patron of the inhuman, and I think you already know maybe what how you feel about cats. So you now, thanks to our analysis, you probably know what you meant in this dream.
Well, I think that will help. That'll put you on the right track at the very least,
or at least give you some food for thought, if anything else.
Again, these are all just like crazy sculptures in a modern art museum. So you go ahead and sit on that little bench there, look at the sculpture, and see what it means. What does it mean to you? What do you see? This is our two cents. But thank you very much, patron of the inhuman.
Got another dream for me?
I have one. But before I do, I was talking to some people, as I tend to do. I'm a little social butterfly. And inevitably, we talk about dreams. The topic of sexy dreams comes up, inevitably. Right?
So yeah, we've got a few sexy submissions as well.
Scott, we have been talking, and I think we just needed to call it right here, that we're not really going to talk about those for right now. No, we're just kind of going to skip out, unless they have some grandiose meaning. And when we get to episode number... Which number?
Oh, yeah, we should probably find it... maybe a little bit ahead. Kinda like, maybe number 68.
Yeah, we did Dreamboat Goes to the Movies at number 9. So, yeah, 60, maybe not 68.
I think number 69. Why not 69? Okay. Isn't that the sex number?
Oh, hey, how perfect. Yeah, so.
Hey, let's do the sex, episode 69, we do the sexy dreams.
Yeah, you can look out for that. We'll cover all your dirty laundry. We can make it a special extra long episode.
Man, this was the first one where I didn't use any fuck words, but you had and then you had to go and bring up the sexy number, and so now I'm all hopped up. All right, let's plan for 69. Don't send us your sexy dreams yet.
And just so you know, like, you can't always plan for 69. Sometimes it just happens. But episode 69, yes, yeah, we'll plan for that. 69. So, blanket statement. I had a quick dream that I guess we could unpack here.
Sure.
It was a pretty cool dream that I had a few nights ago, and I've been having trouble like remembering these epic poems that I kind of used to get, and I really do think I need to get back on the apple juice. I keep saying I'm going to do it. I haven't done it. I need to get off the wagon and get back on the apple juice. Now, I had a dream and I was underwater, like in the ocean, and not too far from the shore, but it was next to like this cliff face sort of thing. And the water was like kind of dark, super blue, but I was underwater, like pretty deep underwater and not worried about breathing. I didn't have scuba gear or anything. I was just kind of swimming in the ocean and I was following this blue fish. And this blue fish was probably about the size of my hand, and it was swimming, and I really wanted to catch this blue fish, and I could put him in a jar. And so I was following this blue fish around under the water, and then a storm started to kick up, and the waves like started pushing me in towards this cliff, and I lost track of the fish, and at that point kind of just had to hold on to the cliff and brace myself as the waves got stronger and stronger. And that was it.
But you were underwater and breathing?
Yeah, I was underwater the whole time. I wasn't worried about breathing, so I guess I was probably breathing.
That's very cool. Blue fish. Was there one fish or two fish?
It was not a red fish, but a blue fish. It was a blue fish. Yeah, okay. Thank you, doctor.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to start with fish. We already know what being underwater is, actually, because of the Scott Hartman dream. I don't know if you recall, but we were talking about him sort of walking on water and skipping from crocodile head to crocodile head. And we interpreted that, the water at least, as being the unknown or sort of like the... It represents the subconscious, I think, but it represented in that instance,
right,
the unknowing, unknowable.
Now, there's quite a bit here in this Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings from J.M. DeBord, and there are strong associations with fish with subconscious information and the unconscious mind of stuff that's floating around in there. Holy moly, is that a paragraph on fish?
That's two pages on fish. I'm holding up my dream book. There's two pages on fish.
Scott is showing me Ibn Sirin's book on dreams, and it's literally a solid two full pages with no paragraph break, just a maybe a run-on sentence, I can't tell, and it's all about fish.
God, there's so many
interesting.
It says a whale. It's talking about whales. It's not a fish, Ibn Sirin. It's a mammal.
Colorful fish can symbolize distraction because it's easy to be distracted by colorful fish swimming around.
Hey, Connor, how soft was the skin of this fish in your dream?
I wish I would have found out, but I did not catch the fish. I was just the P. Sherman.
Oh, were you a traveler and you found a fish in your bed by any chance?
No.
This is weird. Why? Is this what people dream about?
According to JM here, fish that slip away can symbolize failing to follow something that you have been taught, moral teachings in particular, a slippery situation or something you have a hard time holding on to.
Oh my God.
Now, so I wasn't holding the fish and they slipped away, but just quite literally, I couldn't catch him. I think the distraction is a little more like it.
So you said that you were underwater in your dream and then the waves got really intense and you had to grip something to keep from getting tossed about. What? How deep were you in the water? Were you like super underwater?
As a scuba man, I was probably like 20 feet. So not crazy deep. I mean, that may be deep to some people, but not super duper deep.
Hey, was it a fish with a human face that looked beautiful?
No, Scott.
What
the hell,
Ibn Sirin? What are you doing?
Isn't there a Sega Dreamcast game where it's pretty much that? A fish with
Freddy
a human
fish.
Face? I think it's called Seaman, but it literally, literally is, but I don't think it's very beautiful. I think it looks like Ernest Borgnine. Now,
I do see one that kind of applies here. This is the closest one. If you see a fish swimming near the water's surface in a dream,
okay.
Was it near?
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Relatively. Well, that just means that you're going to have ease in attaining your goals and exposing secrets and unveiling sort of a hidden past. However, if that's followed up immediately after by roiling seas, that means something else is trying to keep you from your discovering of yourself.
That's pretty interesting. And I looked up cliff here in this JM joint, and it says that it could mean obstacles, not necessarily insurmountable obstacles, but definitely obstacles, or you're about to face a tough climb. So here I am being distracted by the pretty fish, and then boom, something, tough climb, big risk, or important decision.
So it was a pretty fish with a human face, with a beautiful woman's face.
No, Scott, it was a blue fish about the size of my hand. Thank you very much.
Okay. But yeah, sorry for interrupting. But yeah, I would agree. I think that the roiling sea there represents probably the tribulations of life, and the blue fish would represent you having some sort of self-discovery.
I'm going to go with some sort of like distraction or... like, mind is thinking about one thing, and then boom, here this big situation is upon me. And, like, that's the real thing I should be focusing on. Yeah. I'll have to go ahead and
No.
That's one for a while.
It's not, like, frustrating or anything. It's just a lot of the time with these dreams, we're going to we do arrive at kind of that same thing. That's sort of the moral. For a lot of mine, it's been that too.
Yeah, and again, like, pretty generic boil there, distilled water, but
hey, please keep dreaming of fish, because any situation, I've got you covered. Yeah, no matter what.
Finding a live fish in my traveling bed, or what is it?
Yeah, no, if you find a fish in your bed, Jesus.
We'll save it for next time. I think it's about that time.
I think so, too. Hey, everybody, thanks for listening in. Thanks for coming aboard. Just make sure to walk down the gangplank with caution as you exit the dream boat, and we will catch you guys next week. Ooh, as always, I am Scott.
And I'm Connor. Send in those dreams. Dreamboatpodcast@gmail.com. Check us out. Talk about us on your social media thing of choice.
On your Twitters. And hey, check out Reddit Dreams if you'd like. Maybe we'll scoop you up from there.
If you like fish with faces, I'm sure you like books of faces. So find us on Facebook. Tell your friends. Right. Tell your mom. Right. Tell your friend's mom.
Tell your mom's fish face. Oh, I'm sorry.
Scott.